It has been a week for prayer, hasn't it? Maybe we could just say that every week, whether it's in our personal lives or in the lives of the nation or the lives of the world, that it is a week for prayer. Today we have four prayer quilts. You can find more information about our prayer quilts at the bottom of the order of worship in the worship folder. Not only can you tie a knot of prayer after the worship service, but you can take the bulletin home and use it as a source for prayer and intercession as you pray for those who are listed. I invite you now into a time of prayer. Lord, we do give you thanks for the gift of life that comes through your Son, Jesus Christ. We are a people who have been redeemed. We have been claimed by you as creations of worth and of worthy of salvation, not so much because of what we've done, we know, Lord, but because of who you are and what you have done through Jesus. And so right now, today, we say amen and amen, and we lift our gratitude up for this great gift. We ask, Lord, that in the midst of our gratitude, we might respond in a way that honors you, respond in a way that shapes this world for what you have created it to be in your glory. And so we ask that in our own lives, we might be a reflection of Jesus' life for those around us, in compassion, in care, in ethical behavior and truth-telling, in all ways, Lord, that we might reflect who you were walking this earth in Jesus. In addition, Lord, we lift to you our nation and other nations, and all that's great about them, and all of the struggles and the brokenness as well. Be with those who strive for peace, who strive for the dignity of humanity. Be with those, Lord, who work toward education for all and health care that treats all. Lord, help us to move toward a place where we care for those who are left on the outside and the margins, that we care for those who are hurting. We care for those who struggle in mental illness and with addiction. And that while we might not know the names of people who hurt in this world, that our heart still goes out. We pray, Lord, that you might be the victor over all of the things that harm creation, whether that is harm to an environment that you have created for beauty and glory, or it is harm that harms individuals or groups of people or ethnicities. We ask, Lord, in all places that you might be a voice of strength and guidance in the midst of isms that oppress others. And we ask, Lord, that you might be with all of us and lead us to be the example that you have called us to be. And now, Lord, we ask also that you might listen to our gathered prayers as we pray in silence for the things that lay heaviest on our hearts. And now, Lord, allow us to center completely on what you desire for our lives as we pray together the prayer that your Son Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
This morning's scripture comes from Romans 3rd chapter, verses 21 through 26. But now, apart from law, the righteousness of God has been disclosed and is attested by the law and the prophets, the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there is no distinction, since all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. They are now justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a sacrifice of atonement by his blood, effective through faith. He did this to show his righteousness, because in his divine forbearance he had passed over the sins previously committed. It was to prove at the present time that he himself is righteous and that he justifies the one who has faith in Jesus. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Chris. Now, as we continue with our series on Reel to Reel, you know, we've been looking at classic movies from a Christian perspective, and we've been focusing on all sorts of different types. We're focusing on epic classics through September 3rd. This week, we're going to be focusing on The Shawshank Redemption. Next week, Sherry is somehow going to preach on every Star Wars movie in 20 minutes. And then the week after that, just be ready. It's Godzilla versus King Kong. Now, normally, we show a clip or two from the movies. We're not going to be able to do that this week. However, though, to give you a quick overview, I am going to show the preview because that I'm able to do. And so if you just watch the screen, you'll get a quick glimpse at the movie.
Ladies and gentlemen, you've heard all the evidence. I submit that this was not a hot-blooded crime of passion. Consider this. A revolver holds 6 bullets, not 8. That means that he fired the gun empty and then stopped to reload.
By the power vested in me by the state of Maine, I hereby order you to serve 2 life sentences back to back, one for each of your victims. So be it.
Send you here for life? That's exactly what they take.
I believe in 2 things. Discipline.
Help me, Dad!
And the Bible. Here you'll receive both.
Andy came to Shawshank Prison in 1947.
Why'd you do it?
I didn't, since you ask.
You can fit right in.
I must admit, I didn't think much of Andy the first time I laid eyes on him. He had a quiet way about him. A walk and a talk that just wasn't normal around here.
There are places in the world that aren't made out of stone. There's something inside they can't touch.
What are you talking about?
Hope.
Let me tell you something, my friend. Hope is a dangerous thing.
Damn it, Dufresne, you're putting me behind.
Hope can drive a man insane.
You better be sick or dead in there, I kid you not.
I better get used to that idea.
Oh, my holy God.
I guess it comes down to a simple choice, really. Get busy living, and get busy dying.
Get busy living, or get busy dying. That's damn right.
Now, as the preview showed us, the movie's about Andy Dufresne, and he's played by Tim Robbins, and he's convicted of murdering his wife and her lover, but there's only one problem. He didn't do it. And he didn't kill them, so he's sent to Shawshank Prison. And this is where he meets Ellis Boyd Redding, and he's played by Morgan Freeman. Now, Redding goes by Red, and in the movie, Andy asks him, well, why are you called Red? And Morgan Freeman looks at him and just says, well, because I'm Irish. Now, Red is one of those guys in prison who can get things. Now, for a small markup, of course. And so Andy and Red become friends, and they are at Shawshank almost 20 years together. And as it said in the clip, the movie starts in 1947. I'll give you a quick pointer. It ends in 1967 with Red's release. Now, as we've looked at the movies this summer, and we've connected them to our faith, you guys did a great job in voting this movie in, because we share tidbits, and there's a number of them about Shawshank Redemption that I want to share with you. Number one, it was released in 1994, and it was adapted from a Stephen King story called Rita Hayworth and the Shawshank Redemption. Now, when they initially had titled it that, they received hundreds of letters and applications from women who wanted to play Rita Hayworth. And one even said, I read this script, it's perfect for me. Rita Hayworth is not in the movie except for in a poster. So they decided they needed to change the title. And it was an amazing movie. It was nominated for 7 Academy Awards, including Best Picture and Best Actor. And it didn't win any. The Best Picture in 1994, anybody remember Forrest Gump? Tom Hanks for Best Actor. There was some tough competition that year. It was also the year another movie that we're never going to show here, Pulp Fiction, came out. And the issue, one of the issues they think with Shawshank Redemption was it was rated R, restricted audiences. In other words, no one under 17 was allowed to see it without an adult. I want to give you one more fun fact, and if you want to take a road trip, the prison used in the movie is the Ohio State Reformatory in Mansfield, Ohio. It's just over 3 hours from here. So if you want to tour the prison, see some of the movie props, life-size cutouts, get your picture taken, see where this film took place, it's open 7 days a week right now from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. through September 3rd. So take a short road trip and you can see where The Shawshank Redemption was filmed. Now, as the title tells you, The Shawshank Redemption is about redemption. It's in the title, you can't miss it. Here's the question, what is redemption? As Sherry pointed out, that's a big word. Now, Merriam-Webster defines it as the act, the process, or the result of redeeming someone or something, such as the act of making it better or more acceptable. Think of it as redeeming someone's reputation. Or it can be the act of exchanging something for a reward of some sort, 10 cents for a bottle, or anybody a couponer? You redeem those. You get money back off of something that was overpriced to start with. And so from a Christian perspective, though, we look at it completely differently. It's the redemption of sinners. It's the act of being saved from sin or evil. Now, Easton's Bible Dictionary puts it this way, and in Scripture, redemption is most often referenced as the purchase back of something that had been lost by the payment of a ransom. And as we look at today's Scripture, you heard it. The payment that was made on our behalf is clear. It comes through. Now, there was a time in my life where I tended to drive a little fast because I always drove on the expressway, and I actually had to redeem myself a couple times in a 2-week period when I received 2 speeding tickets. So the first one I got, because I was driving down a hill on Middle Belt Road underneath the viaduct, and apparently you can get up to 70 miles an hour in a 40-mile-an-hour zone. So that was my first ticket. Within a 2-week time period, my second ticket was I needed gas. So I got off the expressway off of 96 onto the service drive and saw the sign, and I said, wait a minute, there's a gas station a mile up that's 4 cents cheaper a gallon. So I kept driving, and I received a speeding ticket for driving too fast to go save 4 cents a gallon on gas. It was the most expensive tank of gas I ever bought. And so I had to pay a fine. I had to redeem myself to clean up my record. Unfortunately, I also got to pay extra car insurance for a few years till they fell off. But for this movie, it sits out there. Whose redemption is it? Now, the most common answer given is that it's Red, the inmate that Andy befriends in his time at Shawshank. But I want to tell you something. In an interview by Daniel Argent and Eric Bauer, they interviewed Frank Darabont. He's the director and screenwriter of the movie, and he gives this answer. Everybody. Everybody gets redeemed in that movie to some degree or another. One of the cool things about life, or drama, if not life, is that a forceful and righteous individual can really affect a lot of change. Now, in the movie, that forceful and righteous individual is Andy Dufresne. Now, for us, in our Christian perspective, that forceful and righteous individual is Jesus Christ. The warden takes a rather interesting view, and when he greets Andy and the other inmates when they come to Shawshank, he says, "This is Mr. Hadley, captain of the guard. I am Mr. Norton, the warden. You are sinners and scum. That's why you were sent to me." Now, the warden, he likes to quote scripture, and he pretends at being a God-fearing man, but he's affected by the prison walls just like the inmates are. He's corrupt. He takes bribes. He swindles others. He even has an inmate killed. Now, he probably should include himself in this comment, but I don't think he was thinking of himself. Because, you see, he shouldn't be running the prison. He should have been locked up in the prison. But there is one way where the warden was right, and it's part of our scripture. It sounds a bit like the warden, doesn't it? "All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." It echoes that sin part in the warden's statement. But if you look at it in context and the way this passage starts, the two words are, "but now." Because you see, something has changed. The law still exists, but now God's righteousness is proclaimed by the law and the prophets. The writer of Romans, Paul, is saying, it doesn't matter whether you're a Jew or a Gentile. If you're a believer, we're all in the same place. And you see, try as we might, we're all sinners. We all fall short of the glory of God. Alone, we cannot be redeemed. Alone, we do not achieve righteousness. But there is a way. There is a way in Christ. And there's a lot of irony at Shawshank. At Shawshank, every man proclaims he is not guilty, proclaims that he is innocent. They're there because of a bad lawyer, or because they were railroaded or falsely accused. So this is a place where everyone is guilty, and yet they all proclaim their innocence. Yet there they are. And over time, prison does take its toll. Red says, "These walls are funny. First you hate them, then you get used to them. Enough time passes, you get so you depend on them." That's institutionalized. There's a scene that reflects this in the movie and tells us a little bit more about the profound effect of prolonged incarceration. And two characters in the movie, Brooks and Haywood. Now, Brooks has been in prison for almost 50 years. He is an old man. He has served his time, and he's going to be released. Well, Haywood congratulates him on his upcoming parole, and what does Brooks do? He grabs him and puts a knife to his throat. And when Andy is talking to him, trying to talk him down, Brooks explains that he needs to stay in here, and maybe, just maybe, if he kills Haywood, they'll let him stay at Shawshank. Andy, through his gentle nature, talks Brooks down, and Brooks is released. And he tries to adapt to the outside world, a place he hasn't lived in. And in the end, he ends up killing himself. You see, Brooks was paroled, he was released, but his redemption actually came in that prison. As Red pointed out in the trailer you saw, they send you here for life, and that is exactly what they take from you. And we talk about prison that way, but what about our lives and how we're living? How many of us look at it that same way? I mean, we may not be in a physical prison with concrete walls and bars, but how many of us become institutionalized by our job, by our situation, by our decisions. You see, we're in the same danger as those inmates of letting the world around us take over our lives, forgetting what we have, that redemption that is available through Christ Jesus, that salvation. You see, Andy reminded Red of something he had forgotten, something he had given up on. It's something inside us that they can't get to, that they can't touch, and that's hope. Because, see, it doesn't matter who the they are in your life. If there is someone or something that is stealing your hope, don't let them do that. See, Andy in prison never lost hope. Now, in the movie, he does admit that he was not the best husband. He was distant, wasn't sure he was caring enough. He didn't kill his wife, but he still felt guilt. And see, that may be no different for us, although I'm not sure we're ready to admit it. See, it all happens when we fall short of what Jesus wants for us, the unconditional love that's available to each of us. See, these walls that surround us, these figurative walls, they can change us. But through hope, hope in others, hope in this world, hope in Christ, we can break down those walls and escape our prisons. Because, see, hope is a good thing, maybe the best of things, and no good thing ever dies. Back in the interview, Frank Darabont was asked, wasn't the theme of the film really hope? Listen to his response. It's spiritual. I think the two are inextricably intertwined. I think hope is always redemptive. Hope really is the key word, isn't it? That's the finest part of us as human beings. So where is the hope for you? Now in verse 23, which I read earlier, it tells us all have sinned. But if you read a little bit earlier, verse 22 tells us that redemption is available for all who believe. See, not just some, not just those who serve their time, not just those who are a bit better than others. It's available to all of us. Every person, everyone who believes. And it's a gift of grace from God. And see, we're redeemed by the sacrifice of Christ on the cross, by his resurrection. His blood has washed away all our sin. And Bible.org's study and exposition on this reading today, they put it this way. It's not a reference to being made righteous in any ethical or spiritual sense, but rather to a genuine legal pronouncement involving acquittal. And God pronounces a person justified freely by grace. And that idea of freely reaches back to Paul's comment in chapter 3, verse 21 about the righteousness of God being revealed apart from the law. All are redeemed. And there are times I think I want to believe that I'm freely acquitted of all my sin. And there's a tagline for Shawshank Redemption that put it this way: fear can hold you prisoner, hope can set you free. But I wonder how much of that fear am I letting in? You see, we know this. Christ died for our sins, and we have been redeemed. We know this. But there are buts that come into my heart. You see, but I'm not worthy. But my sins are too great. But I have questions. But this is fear coming into play. And see, fear can hold you prisoner. Hope can set you free. Today's scripture is one of those key scriptures that describe redemption through Jesus Christ. So if those buts continue to bother you as they bother me, we can turn to scripture in prayer. How Hodges' systematic theology references a number of passages in the New Testament which represent Christ's suffering for us and the idea of him paying a ransom or price, and the result that we're securing is a purchase or redemption. The first one I want to mention is John chapter 8, verses 31 through 36. And these are words from Jesus' own lips. You will be made free. I want to read to you starting at verse 33b, which is where Jesus is responding to a question that is asked of him. And they ask, what do you mean by saying you will be made free? Jesus answered them, very truly I tell you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not have a permanent place in the household. The son has a place there forever. So if the son makes you free, you will be free indeed. You see, this debt against us is not simply canceled. It's fully paid. Christ gave his life for us. He surrendered it, and it's the ransom by which he delivers us from sin and all of its consequences. And you can also look at Colossians or Ephesians and other places to find the redemption that's available through Christ in the Scripture. You see, Andy Dufresne never lost hope. And he escaped from prison in 1966 after tunneling through the wall of his cell for 19 years with a tiny rock hammer. He broke into a sewage pipe so that he could crawl 500 yards, which I believe in the movie they say is almost half a mile, through human waste to reach a creek and to reach his salvation. Andy escaped. And throughout this movie, though, he did not keep that hope to himself. He shared it freely with the other inmates. I think he even shared it with the guards and the warden. But he did this at personal risk and sacrifice on a regular basis. A couple things he did. He built a prison library and enhanced the lives of the other inmates. He helped men get their high school certification. He spent 2 weeks in the hole, which is solitary confinement. And he got those 2 weeks because he played Mozart's The Marriage of Figaro over the prison loudspeaker so everyone could hear it. And that gave the inmates just a taste of freedom. And what he showed Red and the other inmates throughout this movie is that there was more to life than Shawshank and being punished for their crimes. There was hope. And I'm going to give us as our goal this week that point of hope. Find hope. But don't just find it. Share it with others. Because you can't keep it to yourself. Because there is someone out there who needs that hope that you have. Give it to them. I do want to share one last item about this movie. And it cost $25 million to make. In 1994, it grossed $58 million worldwide. Now, for us, $58 million is a lot of money. In the movie business, not so much. It only played in the theater for less than 3 months. The Lion King, which Sherry preached on earlier this summer, was also released in 1994. It grossed almost $1 billion. Worldwide. So clearly, Shawshank was not a blockbuster. Now, things have changed as time has passed. This movie was purchased and has been played on cable over and over and over. And more people have had the opportunity to see a powerful film about hope and redemption. And it was redeemed from its low standing in 1994. And if you go look at the top movies of all time as rated by movie watchers in the Internet Movie Database, Shawshank Redemption is rated number one. It just beats out The Godfather. another movie we won't be showing here at Brighton First. So it's about redemption and hope. That's what this movie is about. That's what our scripture is about. For us, though, it's through Jesus Christ. Now, when Andy Dufresne put it, when he was talking about how Mozart was with him while he was in solitary confinement, he said, it's in here, it's in your head, and it's in here, it's in your heart. Apply that to our lives, and the same is true for us, but it's even more important. When we're redeemed, Christ is here in our head, and Christ is here in our heart. Big Daddy Weave, who's a Christian band who I enjoy listening to, they have a song that's titled Redeemed. The first verse in the chorus has these words. Seems like all I could see was the struggle, haunted by ghosts that lived in my past, bound up in shackles for all of my failures, wondering how long this is going to last. Then you look at this prisoner and say to me, son, stop fighting a fight. It's already been won. I am redeemed. You set me free. So I'll shake off these heavy chains, wipe away every stain. Now I'm not who I used to be. I am redeemed. I'm redeemed. Amen.